Welcome to the Immerse podcast with your hosts, Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. As a collective, we are also the co-founders of Immerse Recovery, where we are building the home of recovery for everyday and world-class athletes. Our aim is to immerse you into education via our guests, bringing communities together, embracing positive change, and helping you to create solid habits that will yield the path for your health and longevity. As former sports people, we understand the importance of daily habit change, regular activity, optimal nutrition, sleep quality, and recovery strategies to optimise our daily performance. Our name, Immerse, represents all the elements of our ethos and it promotes a passionate message. We go again is our mantra. It symbolises the opportunity to achieve greatness through repetition, which in turn will allow you to recover quicker.
You know when there's like a certain point in your life where you hit like a cognitive level of understanding,
yeah,
and then you just exist in that space for the rest of your life?
Mm.
I'm basically 15. Yeah.
And you're okay with that?
I think the biggest mistake is growing up.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the, he's an author, philosopher type guy.
Yeah.
But he basically said, he's like, the biggest mistake is when people start growing up, that's when you start dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this life where all of a sudden I'm hanging out with so many people and I just watch people's smiles disappear.
Yeah.
Like, what we're saying that this morning.
Walking into London, we clocked it this morning.
Yeah. Dude, I'm smiling the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you guys got your party shirts on. Like, I have shirts that are specifically designed for partying. I've always had them since I've been a kid. Like, I had that one folded up in my closet. I'm like, when this thing goes on, it is time. So when I put this thing on, I'm like,
Well, when you were obviously coming to London, what brings you here all the way from California? Why London this time?
So this is the third summer in a row that I've been coming out here. You know, obviously, I've had a pretty interesting career of just, you know, doing sports all over the place, but HYROX has been predominantly owning my life for the past, you know, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest market. And 2021, I made this deal with Puma, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Fittest PR, Keith and Kate Barlow. They're like the hot shots in the industry for PR and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
We did this collaboration where we worked with HYROX, Puma, and we toured around the UK. And we were spreading the word of the gospel of HYROX. Like, you know, everyone, we're like, we got to tell people about HYROX. And at the time, nobody knew what it was. It was pretty exciting. So we're traveling around doing that. And while I was doing that, I was going around gym to gym. And I was like, why the hell doesn't anybody take supplements out here?
Mm.
In the United States, like, as soon as you walk through the door, supplements are being sold to you.
Yeah.
Green things, you know, things that get you up, things that get you down, things that get you sideways, whatever the fuck it is that they're selling it to you. And it's good. Like, these are not like bad products that they're selling you, but there's the health industry over there is so far ahead of development than it is over here. And I'm obsessed with supplements. I've always been taking them my entire life. I'm like a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
So after that tour was done, I sat with myself for a bit. I had just launched my supplement company in the United States. I was like, I need to stop development over here and focus exclusively over here.
Yeah.
And I immediately took money out of my bank account, got a partner over here, and started our UK brand. And it's our one-year anniversary. Next week, we're having the one-year anniversary party. If you guys want to come, I'll get you some tickets to it. We're touring the whole city. All day experience, coffee in the morning, line bike rally ride, workout at Wits, lunch, 5K, bathhouse, and then beers afterwards.
Awesome. That sounds good, brother. Count us in.
What's that?
We'll bring the shirts.
So, yeah. Shirts on.
Yeah, so I'm back just kind of giving back to the community. I'm like, I love the UK fitness scene.
Yeah. Well, the UK fitness scene loves you as well.
I'll take that. I'll take that. No, it's really good, man. Like, I originally got into fitness back in New York City, and I often tell people that New York City is actually the mecca of fitness because they usually originate like the training programs out of there, like F45 type stuff, SoulCycle, everything. But now that same energy, it's kind of burnt out in the United States and New York City, and that same energy is now here. So what I found and what got me into fitness 13, 14 years ago is now starting to grow here.
Mm.
So what you guys have is like lightning in a bottle. Like,
yeah,
you guys are in a really interesting time. I know you guys launched your brand, and like that stuff happened 10 years over there, and now you guys have this awesome opportunity, this young, vibrant energy. So I want to be a part of it again. Yeah. It makes me feel good.
Awesome. Yeah. You mentioned supplements.
Yeah.
Have you got any like non-negotiable lifestyle supplements, performance supplements that you sort of live by, or are you constantly sort of exploring, mixing and matching?
I'm always exploring. I think like it'd be a mistake not to. Like I remember when I was younger, we like the supplement industry, they had things like Jack 3D and No Explode. I don't know if you guys ever heard of these.
Yeah.
But they had banned substances in them. Like, so they were such intense products that they had to remove them off the market because they had like methamphetamine derivatives in them.
What, T5 over here? What?
It was crazy shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would go into these stores, and in the beginning, like, you just don't know anything. It's the Wild West. There's just crazy labels of muscly people on them. And it just took me such a long time to actually turn the thing around and read what was on the back of it. And then all of a sudden, I started to get in, and then I started to buy all the books to understand it. But I've always been kind of a chemist myself when it comes to it, testing on myself and upping the doses, lowering the doses. But the things that are non-negotiable for me is water first. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the whole world is chronically dehydrated. Mm. You'd be so amazed.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bang that drum so hard every day. That's massive, massive message, isn't it?
It's crazy. And, like, if you think about it, from the functioning standpoint of just water, it regulates everything. You're regulating your core temperature, your muscle growth, your metabolism. Like, every single thing is originating from your body. It's just like your like the radiator fluid going throughout your system, and it makes it run more efficiently. So, I mean, it's the cheapest thing out there also. But then all of a sudden I started to really think about water, and I think about the quality of water that we're getting. And that starts to freak you out when you start going down that rabbit hole. I don't drink water out of pipes anymore. Like, I don't turn on the faucet and drink out of it. So, and I barely will drink water out of plastic bottles anymore. So that's another whole freaky fucking thing. So I start with water every single day. And like, obviously I have my products. I'm not trying to push it on anybody, but I start the day with water first. And I have this water spinning device with a mineral cube in it. And I spin it for 20 minutes. And it's fucking this huge drum of water. And I immediately pour it into a blender with a scoop of my product. And I blend the thing up and I hammer it as hard as I can. And that's before anything else. And then I can go throughout the rest of the day just like by re-upping myself. And just to give you guys an example of just like dehydration, it's really simple. If you go to bed at night and you weigh 200 pounds, you'll wake up in the morning at 198 because your body will just sweat and you'll breathe out fluids throughout the night. So you're always kind of getting dehydrated. The next level is like what you put in your water. And, you know, I think the people get really confused about what electrolytes really are. You know, that's, we could go down that rabbit hole, but understand that electrolytes are extremely important. Mm-hmm. And I learned that very early on. When it comes to your coordination, your balance, the way that you're actually using the water, the ability to, you know, push yourself harder, it's all based on what's inside your cup of water. Mm-hmm. Now getting away from the water aspect, creatine's one of these kind of things where if you're listening to this right now, you're making a mistake if you're not on creatine. Like, they've even shown with older populations of like being able to help with Alzheimer's, your brain health in general, like creatine's a superfood, super fuel. Mm. Whether it's your aspect of performance or health and longevity, it's the most verified and validated product in the world as far as sports nutrition goes.
Would you say just creatine, monohydrate,
There's like hydrochloride-based creatine, monohydrate-based creatine. There's multiple levels of it, but in reality, as long as you're consuming it, that's your best thing to start with. You know?
What sort of dosage are you looking at? Do you cycle it? Do you load up? Do you phase it down?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you want to get into the weeds on this thing, like, if you're really getting into it, like I was telling you about that high-intensity book earlier, you're supposed to drink like a gallon of water with like up to 20 grams of creatine a day when you're first loading it so you can activate it. But most people aren't going to try to do that, and most people don't want to live at the extent of the edge of the you know, basically the edge of the earth, like I like to do. So unless you're trying to live that crazy life, 5 grams a day, you can cycle on and off of it. Like right now I'm not taking it, but I'll start September 1st because I'm going to start my strength cycle again. Like I just finished an Ironman 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Wasn't important for me to be taking creatine, at the time. And I also had my world championships like 60 days ago. So I like to detox the body a little bit so that when I do use it, it's coming in and I'm using it like efficiently and effectively. And then, you know, the other thing that's like just really important is then blood flow and then the ability to also fight off lactic acid. So beta alanine and citrulline, those are two of the most like best products out there also. And they're cheap, you know. These are all things that anybody who's listening to this right now could literally take, you know, $20 and buy almost all three of those products and have like bulk of it. So
that's specifically to maximize performance, isn't it? It's not, you know, for anyone who's serious about training,
those are the things. Those are the things. And there's some other pieces that like I think that I would add in there, like also, you know, if you're looking at sleep, taking products like ZMA, like I have my own blend of ZMA, like it's super cheap, guys. Like if you want to have not only like just sleep, it's not going to knock you out, but you're going to have healthier sleep. What your body's able to do while it's sleeping, it needs those certain kind of minerals inside of it to make it run more efficiently. It's just like if you're always about 10 to 20% below your level that you need, you're always going to be running at that level. So it's always better to just top everything off and let your body run efficiently. So
So zinc, magnesium, and
what's vitamin, I think the last one's vitamin B. And they have vitamin A in there also. But the zinc and magnesium is the most important part. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's just like mind blowing.
Aspartic acid as well, I think. Aspartic acid.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's like mind blowing that I think about. You know, I don't want to lose this. We're buying it soon, and hopefully nobody listens to this and steals our idea, because it's not really stealing it. Irish sea moss. If you guys, like, I don't eat a lot of vegetables. Irish sea moss is one of these kind of things where people are buying all these green supplements. And one of the things I think the industry doesn't really look at is by volume. It's called minimum effective dose. You're taking products where you probably need to have like 4 to 10 times the serving size that they're giving you to actually have the minimum effective dose. And you're spending so much money on it, you're getting scammed. Irish sea moss is basically the only product that I consider on the market as far as a greens product that by volume can actually do anything for you. Like I think it has like 92 of the 107 minerals that your body needs to function. It tastes like shit.
Sold.
Yeah, but the thing is like life's not meant to be sugar-coated. Like sometimes you need to go in the gym and put in hard work, and sometimes you need to eat shitty Irish sea moss to be healthier. So that's another thing out there that I'm a believer in.
And also, sometimes you need to get in the cold water as well.
I agree, dude. I mean, the things that make you... I'm a big believer in intensity. Like if you are not feeling something that is like shocking you, then it's not changing you. So as far as like cold goes, like they show that the cold therapy is the only thing that can give you the response equal to cold therapy is cocaine. I used to do a ton of cocaine. I liked it a lot. And it was also so intense. And that's why you like it a lot. And I mean, that same exact feeling, you can get it from your body literally freezing itself to death. It's on the edge. And you put yourself in that bath, your body will make a change from a physiological standpoint and a mental standpoint. Same thing with training, though. Like, you won't catch me kind of lightly brushing the floor when it comes to training. I take out a sledgehammer and I go all in.
Quite literally sometimes.
Yeah.
Seeing you cutting up the logs and stuff recently, that's a...
What's that?
Chopping the logs and stuff. That's you, innit? It's a sheriff, innit?
I used to be a logger in Montana. That's how I first got into fitness.
Right.
I used to make fun of everybody when I saw them in the gym. I was like, you guys are pussies. Like, you're training in the gym when I'm going to beat you anyways.
Yeah.
I don't need to go into the gym. And these guys are, you know, in the gym doing their thing.
Yeah.
And we're in high school, so I didn't know any better. Mm. You know, I didn't care. Mm. So I had to go to rehab because I got in a lot of trouble. Mm. Nothing bad, but nothing good. Mm. And at one point, I'd been kicked out of 3 rehabs, and I talked to my program officer. And I said, hey, listen. Unless you guys give me something that's so intense that I am, like, destroyed by it, I will always go to the party. I will always go to the party. Like, there's nothing you can do to stop me from going to find drugs and chicks because I've got too much energy.
Yeah.
And there's no reason not to. So he finds me a job with one of the old guys who used to work in the program underneath him, old meth addict. They got me a job as a logger at the age of 18. Mm. And I was picking up fucking logs that were literally as wide across as my shoulders to this big. Mm. And I started my first day ever, I think it was February 11th, in the middle of snow season in Montana. Mm. And the first day I had to go to work, I said, "What? How do we get the logs?" He goes, "Start fucking digging." So I had to dig underneath snow to wrap chains around logs. And I went from 5'10", 160 pounds to 6'2", 215 in 6 months. Yeah. Wow. So ever since then, I've been obsessed with chopping wood, picking up logs.
The basics.
Makes you tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite clearly.
Yeah. Up in my cabin, all we do is strongman stuff.
Yeah.
It's good.
Mega.
I want to go back to the start of your sort of training journey as to where you know, obviously you've done the chopping, the logs, but the cardiovascular, the marathon journeys and things like that. I believe that you just rocked up to a race one day with no training and then went and won it. Is that right?
Kind of, sort of. you know, there was no training. Had I run a bunch before? Yes. So junior year, which is our second to last year of high school, so at the time I'm 16, my dad, I had to leave the school that I was living in with my mom, got into too much trouble, so I moved in with my dad. My dad was just like a man's man, never really thought anything through. He just kind of was like, you know, square peg, round hole kind of thing, we'll make it work. Mm-hmm. He goes, "You're either going to run or you're going to get a job." And I was like, "I'll run." And he made me join the cross country team. We had no clue what we were doing, but my dad would wake me up every day at 5 and he'd put the car on cruise control at, like, you know, 20 to 25 kilometers an hour and chase me for 3 to 5 miles every morning.
Wow.
And we didn't know any better, but I got good. But we weren't training. My dad just made me run. Mm. And then I'd go to cross country meets and I'd do pretty gosh darn well. But then, you know, I never thought about it. I never cared. And then, you know, a couple years later, you know, obviously you leave high school. I never really wanted to be an athlete, but then I got to college and all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, like, there's this divergence of people. You're thinking about, there's kind of like, there's the stoners, there's the jocks, there's the nerds, there's the, you know, the babes, there's the bros, like, there's just packs of people. You're like, who am I? Mm. And I was like, well, I did like being an athlete. And then all of a sudden, I didn't like being in college, so I dropped out of college, and I was like, maybe I'll just try to be an athlete. Mm. So I was working out a bunch, but I was never training, and I just was like, I got to see how well I can do at this thing. So I signed up for a half marathon, and I ran the thing. I'd never run over 3 miles in my life, and, like, competitively, and I won it. And I was like, oh, shit.
I'm pretty good.
Well, I didn't know it yet, but I had a huge ego. I was like, fuck these people. I'm taking them out. And I told my dad and mom, I was like, I'm not coming home. I'm going to become a professional runner. Mm-hmm. And obviously at the time, like, there was the only thing you could do back then was go to the Olympics. I was definitely not going to make it to the Olympics, but they had just started CrossFit and obstacle racing. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like as I got my surfboard, on my surfboard, I turned around and there was a tidal wave coming. And I was like, I can get up on top of this thing and I can ride it into the beach or I'm gonna get crushed. Mm. So it was this, like, perfect timing of me deciding to take athletics seriously and this opportunity of, like, you know, Spartan racing and Tough Mudders and all this shit. Mm. And it was crazy. I mean, three races into it, I had a contract from Reebok and Spartan Race, and I was being flown down to Mexico to they put prize purses on my head as being El Super Gringo. Can anybody beat the big white man? And it was crazy. I mean, it hit overnight. And I swear to you, I had no clue what I was doing. I was living out of a backpack, much like I am right now. And anytime I got a phone call, I'd take it. They're like, hey, do you want to go to Mexico? Hey, do you want to go here? Hey, do you want to go there? And it just started. And we were racing 3 to 4 times a month, traveling around the country, if not the world, with guys. All of us would split a hotel. Let's say it's 100 pounds, 6 guys in there. Everybody's spending about $15 a night. And we'd run the individual race, and then we'd run the team race. And the individual race was 500 to 1,000. Team race was about 1,500. So if you're the stud, you walk away, about $1,500, $1,200 a weekend. You do 4 of them, you make like $4,000 a month. I was like, this is awesome. I'm rich. And I miss those days a ton. Hopefully that answered your question, but that was
definitely does. I'm interested as well about, you just said there, you rocked up to your first race and you're like, I'm taking these fuckers down. That was your mindset. I'm really intrigued by, is that the thought process with pretty much everything that you do? Is it just like, I'm going to take this? Because I think it's such a powerful tool that people don't really tap into the potential. And I think, genetics definitely plays a part. You've definitely got a genetic gift if you can achieve something like that straight off the bat. But talk to me a little bit about your mindset. Like, what's going through your mind when you're approaching these pressure sort of races now? Because there's a level of expectation on you as well now, I guess. So,
well,
what's your mindset going into these things?
I never lived in a place where I ever thought that I couldn't do something, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, if you think about it, like, if you're in a baseball stadium and there's the seats across the stadium that is the home run, like, why would you not be aiming for that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if there's a first place position, like, why would you not be aiming for that? And I know, like, physically, there's some things I'm not going to win. Like, I'm not going to be the best basketball player in the world. But there are things that at least I look at myself and I was like, I have a chance. Like, I wanted to go to the Olympics this year. So I looked at all the Olympic sports and I picked this sport of canoeing. And I studied it, and I was like, well, I look at their bodies, and I study, and I find out about the athletes. I'm like, what's their VO2 max? How much can they bench? What's the capacity of what they can do? And I was like, huh. I didn't look at any other sports, because I was like, I can't become an Olympian in all those. I was like, maybe I could pull off rowing. But I saw canoeing, and I was like, it's an individual sport, and I know the capacity, so I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And eventually, it didn't end up working out, because I had missed the qualifiers, which sucks, but I only looked at not being in the sport. I looked at being the Olympian of the sport, like the highest caliber. I didn't think about anything else. So I sat down with myself, and I always look at the highest possibility possible. And I'm like, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
And it's almost never failed me.
Aim high.
What's that?
Aim high, yeah.
Yeah. Like, when I started my supplement company, I immediately Googled what every one of the major supplement companies sold for over the past 10 years. And I was like, okay, that plus an extra 20% is what I'm aiming for. And it's not like I'm trying to be like, oh, Mr. Cool. I'm like, it's been done before. There's a high watermark in everything that we do. Aim for that spot, And then if you fail, like, you're failing at a pretty high level. And you learn a lot more when you're pushing yourself at that level. So, like, what I do right now in High Rocks, like, I don't ever compete unless I'm trying to set a world record or win a world title. And like, a couple months before the world championships, I pulled out of a race and people were like, what the fuck, you pussy? And I was like, I don't think you guys get it. Like, I'm at the point in my life where I want to learn from things, and I want to push myself to the level where if I'm not there, I'm going to have to sit back and I'm going to have to absorb the experience fully rather than trying to beat myself up because of my ego. There's no ego involved. It's actually very analytical and it's very, very directional. So everything I do. And to the wrong person, they'll look at that and say, wow, this guy's so full of himself. I'm like, no, I'm just fully aware of what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went and did the CrossFit Games a couple years ago. And I was like, I could get to the point where I could be really good at CrossFit. But then I sat there with myself and I was like, that's just not me. I don't want to sit inside of a gym between bumper plates for the next 6 years of my life and not see the world. Because I've been with all the best CrossFitters and they're amazing people and it's a really cool sport, but that life sucks. Mm. Like right now, I'm spending every hour of the day training on bicycles, running in mountains. I spend about 3-4 hours a week in the gym, but the rest of it, I get to go to Ironman Copenhagen. Yeah. And see, like, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the streets cheering us on and having fun, travel the world, maybe go to Dubai next week for the Dubai Hyrox. Like, it's cool. It's a lifestyle I'm really aligned with. Mm. So, like, the mindset, I guess what you originally asked was, if I do find something that I believe in, and I'm all in, because there's no reason not to be. I've never found a reason not to be all in.
That's admirable, man. That's admirable. It's, I think sometimes in society, you're not really, you know, pushed to aim high. You just like stay in your lane and make a living and just be happy with that. But
I think more so probably in the UK though.
Yeah,
I think you guys in the US have just got a different sort of mindset.
Mm.
From the outside looking in, yeah. We're a lot more reserved and it's like, oh, I don't want to put myself there. You know, I don't want to put myself.
No, I've definitely heard that. Yeah.
Do you sense that as well about the British people?
Well, no. I mean, I don't like. I'm not putting you guys down by any means, but you know, the United States is definitely built on this like level of insanity. Like everything has to be at a larger level, and.
That's why you're in front.
What's that?
That's why you're in front as well.
Yeah.
You know, with the athleticism, with the supplements, with the lifestyle, with the performance. Guys are leading it, and
with the shakes and the fries.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a healthy aspect to it, and there's also a level of insanity to it. Mm-hmm. I do realize that my lifestyle and my mindset does alienate me from a lot of people because they just don't understand it, and it makes them feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I also almost feel uncomfortable hanging out with the average person because when I try to talk to them, they don't hear me, and I don't hear them. Yeah. And I know that sounds weird, but it's like. It feels weird. It almost feels like I'm a goldfish in a bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm like there's some pane of glass between us. Mm. But from the American standpoint, yeah, like it's everything's larger than life. And you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that like if you picked up your own biography and like would you read it?
Ooh.
And if you wouldn't, then you should stop what you're doing right now and rearrange it.
Mm. I'm relating to that.
Yeah.
Heavily.
We saw a lot of meat robots this morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was one of the things that we noticed on the tube. There was a lot of sadness and lackluster in their eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone just looks beat.
Dude, I was having beers with a guy last night, and he's 40 years old. And he's like, you guys are living the dream. I fucking hate my life. He said that exact sentence. Yeah. And I was like, so why don't you change it? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, are you married? He goes, no. Do you have kids? He goes, no. I was like, get the fuck up and go.
Mm.
Just go.
Yeah.
Like, what are you waiting for?
Mm.
You could literally, like the guy who founded KFC Chicken, his life was just miserable, miserable, miserable. He kept on screwing up. Everything was just a mess. Mm. One day he was going to go to the hardware store and buy a rope to hang himself, but he decided with the money that he had left, he was either going to buy a rope to hang himself, but then he decided to go buy chicken, and he made Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he gave it to his neighbors, and his neighbors were like, wow, this is so good. Like, you should take this seriously. This is incredible.
Mm.
And it changed his whole life. And all of a sudden, he became a billionaire. And he started that, like, I think in the age of, like, he was, like, 60. So, like, there's no age barrier to getting it started, but, like, there's definitely a confidence barrier, and you better muster it up and fucking take a jump.
Yeah. I think when we're growing up and going through, like, the school system, you get a lot of limiting beliefs put onto you, you know, going through the system, going through school, and a lot of people just never break out of that, do they? And to be honest, man, it took me 25, 26 years to break off the limiting beliefs, start believing in myself, you know? took me a while, but I think
it's because of judgment, isn't it? Like, we're scared to not be liked, and people judging us, and look at that asshole and all that sort of stuff. But
he's different. Yeah.
What's the worst thing could happen?
I'm totally okay with it now.
Yeah.
I am as well.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
It does take a while. And I mean, the interesting thing is if you are as true as you possibly can be with yourself, and you put this, like, it will filter out a lot of people, and eventually you'll be aligned with the right people. And even if it's like one or two of them, at least those are the truest people you could have by your side.
Yeah.
And that is something that, like, as, man, COVID changed my life completely. Like, all of a sudden I had this, like, drop jaw moment. I lost everything. Because, like, I'm a fully sponsored athlete at the time. Mm. I have no other income other than racing and sponsors. So I went from making a tremendous amount of money, fully, like, decked out season. Like, when it hit, I was just about to fly to Dubai, and we were going to do this thing called the Government Games. And then a month later, I was going to go do HYROX World Championships 2020 in Germany. And I was like, I was set. And then overnight, all my sponsors dropped me. And I like went to zero income a month, and I'm sitting there, and I've got the bills all stacking up, and I was like, I can't put myself in this vulnerable state ever again. Like, I have to take control of my life. So I wrote my three goals down on a piece of paper. I wrote, set the Murph world record, because it was the only thing I could think of doing, because, like, you know, you can do push-ups, pull-ups, and squats and have a pull-up bar and run outside. Other one was write a book, and the other one was to start a business. And I had control of all those things, and I just went for it, and I looked at those three things on the wall every single day, and all I had was a beanbag chair, a bed, and that whiteboard. And I kept on just going after it at such an aggressive rate. All of a sudden, the people around me, like, almost, like, felt uncomfortable about it. And then all of a sudden, I started to look at those people, and I was like, man, you guys were really cool for a certain chunk of time in my life, but for the reality of my future, like, it's not okay. Like, I can't sit next to you and chase my dreams if you guys don't believe in them also. And it's that awkward moment. Like, you guys are starting your company right now.
Yeah.
People around you might get, like, really weird about it. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm so excited, dude. It's about to arrive tomorrow. They're like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, what are you excited about? They're like, nothing. Like, well, I can't fucking sit next to you anymore, because, like,
energy's in it.
Same shit, different day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
There's this book, 48 Laws of Power, and it was sitting on my friend's desk, and you should read it. It's a fucked up book, but law number 9, I think it is, and it's like, beware of, like, infectious people and their level of negativity and just, I don't know, like, afraidness will infect you. So you gotta, like
poison.
Yeah. And people wonder why I live up in the mountains. Like, I actually live in the mountains not because I need a mountain. Like, I live in the mountains because it's hard for people to get there, and the right people who do show up, it's another level of a filter.
Yeah.
And I separate myself from the world so that I can focus and not be around a bunch of people that are gonna, like, you know, eat hot wings and drink beer all day long, which is time for that. But up on top of that mountain, it's, you know, there's a Hunter S. Thompson quote, you'll never find reasonable men on top of tall mountains. I don't want reasonable people. I want excellent, weird, insane people that believe in life the way I do.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a couple right here anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, speaking of the Murph, you know, and you set this goal to achieve the world record in it.
Yeah.
From the training to the actual achievement.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, what is the Murph, and what did you do in the build up to be able to beat that world record?
Murph is named after a guy named Lieutenant Michael Murphy. There's the movie Lone Survivor, the book Lone Survivor. It's about him and Partial.
Oh, nice.
And he died in battle. And this workout that he did, that he nicknamed Body Armor, he would train with his slack vest on. It's like, you know, his tactical vest that basically you use so you don't get shot. Like, it has these plates on them. So he'd do a 1 mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, 1 mile run with a weight vest on. And that was, like, his workout that made him macho. So after he passed away, they named this workout after him. And it's become like the most popular workout in the world. And, you know, everybody does it every Memorial Day. It's very popular in the United States and it's kind of become a global thing also. So I was just like, there's nothing else going on. And it was like 2.5 months before that date. So I was like, I'm just going to go for it. Admittedly, like I was aiming for 30 minutes. I ended up getting 34 and I did 31 in training. I way overtrained. Okay. Now that I look back on it, like I'd done it poorly and that's okay. But, I saw my goal and I had 2 months when I probably should have taken 6 months. I'm actually going for the record again in January this year, nice. Next year. And now I have 6 months to train for it. But, I mean, I went all in and I gave myself like rhabdo and joint issues for several months afterwards. But it was a cool experience. I mean, it was the thing that got me through the beginning of COVID, which was like very hard on a lot of people. Like the idea that the world was like shutting down and we didn't understand what it was and blah, blah, blah. I would just go into the gym every single day and just beat the piss out of myself.
Mm. Was you poorly from the rhabdo?
What's that?
Did you get ill from that, the rhabdo?
I didn't get ill, but I had basically kind of given myself...
kidneys, right?
When I say I gave myself rhabdo, like I didn't go to a doctor and like actually get the test to see if I had basically, it's basically when proteins break down at such an aggressive level because you've gone so intensely that it dumps into your kidneys and then it's a poison to your system. Shit. Basically you're poisoning your system by such an aggressive level of muscle breakdown. So I have just trained for so long and I know my body so well. I realized, I was like, this is really weird. Like I'm not recovering from workouts the same way. I feel kind of like fatigued and sick. And I felt like my triceps would inflate with blood when I would work out and it would not come down. It was almost like getting compartment syndrome, like I had restriction. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened to my quads. And I just basically had overworked myself so much that it was stupid. Like, I hadn't done it properly. Mm. So, you know, looking back, whatever. Like, you know, I learned my lessons. Like,
still did it.
Yeah. Still did it. I'm a person who believes in excellence, not in, like, you know, greatness. Like, I want excellence. So, I've thought about it ever since then. I'm like, I'm gonna get it back. So... I'll train for it again. Like, I'll start September 1st, and that will be, you know, we'll have September, October, November, December, January. I'll probably hit it, maybe February.
We're back in you, mate, all the way.
What's that?
We're back in you.
Hell yeah. I'll keep you guys posted. Yeah. I'll use, obviously, the ice bath to get ready for it. And those are also some things that, like, now that I'm getting older is probably the wrong word, but wiser.
Wiser.
That's wiser is, like... You know, let's be real. Like, you can get old or you can get wise. There's people that get old and their bodies just change. Mm. Like, I've been getting fitter and wiser as I get older.
Yeah.
So I don't like using the word older. No. I'm getting wiser, you know? And I've just rearranged the way... Like, before, it was all about a sledgehammer. Now, it's like, what can we do afterwards to, like, really smooth this thing out? Mm. So... Using a sauna and ice bath is a big part of it. Using all these like extracurricular opportunities and like reading heart rate variability and like just taking levels, like taking myself to the next level. I started doing that a couple years ago and it's changed things massively. Mm. And you just don't know until you know.
Yeah.
So I think right then and there, like it's allowed me to break through records. Like, I haven't really lost a major race since 2020, except for 2021 World Championships and the following one afterwards. Mm. But I went on like a 6-year streak of like not losing anything. And it's because I started to learn these things and change myself a little bit. So wiser is definitely a better way to live.
We're just delving into the world of High Rocks, aren't we, Dan? At the minute.
We are.
Which
it's not my bag. It's not my natural bag.
We were humbled on Sunday, weren't we?
We
did a High Rocks workout. Didn't really prepare properly on the running side of things.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of people listening, mate, who are into High Rocks. So what's your number one piece of advice to become a better High Rocks athlete?
it's the cheapest way to approach this thing. Mm. Your pacing for your Hyrox is going to be aligned with your ability to run a half marathon. So for you guys, I think it's like 25K for a half marathon, is it? Is it 20K?
21K?
21K,
I think it is, yeah.
So everybody like wants to go out and like run their ass off. And I'm like, okay, can you run a half marathon? Most people are like, no, I've never done that before. And I was like, well, it's going to take you around the same amount of time to do a Hyrox. Mm. So go out there, and if you don't have the ability to run for a half marathon, you should start there. Mm. I'm not saying you should become this like freaky endurance athlete, but a Hyrox for the average age grouper, I think it's an hour and 28 minutes at the pro level. That's long. That's really, really long.
It's for you.
Yeah, and it's like...
it's to go at a good pace as well.
Yeah. What's that?
To set a good pace and to sustain the pace. That's a long time to be...
It is, and your heart rate's up the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're in F45 right now. If you come in and do, like, a 45-minute F45 class, and afterwards you're like, wow, that was such a great workout, I'm beat. Like, now double the length of it, and that's a Hyrox. Like... Yeah. If you are not testing yourself at the length of the potential of this thing, you are in for a rude awakening. And those 100 wall balls at the end are like, fuck. It is crazy. Can't like, imagine. Even me, I at the end, I'm like, my God, this sucks. I have to do 100 of these things? So you need to be able to travel through time and space physically for at least like 90 minutes for the average person. Mm. So start training that length of time at least once a week. Mm. And I'm not talking about going into the gym doing like tricep extensions and then some crunches. Like you need to be moving and breathing for 90 minutes. Mm.
So a good place to start is half marathon for a lot.
Yeah, half marathon. And if you don't feel comfortable running, do me a favor, like with most of my clients, when I get them started, I have them ride a bike for 60 minutes. There's bikes over there.
Yep.
Pick a certain intensity, you know, match your heart rate to it if you guys are into that kind of stuff. Mm. And then afterwards, run your perceived or guess of a race pace for 30 minutes. Mm. Like that's a perfect place to start. And it's a kind of like an injury-free method. Mm. Some people can't run 90 minutes to start. So it's like, you know, don't hurt yourself. But work your legs for about 60 minutes on the bike and then go run for 30 minutes at your race pace. Mm. And that's like a really good and easy workout. Yeah. Like I start most of my seasons off like that because I don't want to run for 90 minutes. Like, yeah. You know, even I'll cry.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I've seen you talk about max effort sets.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? And then can you talk about also the recovery that's required for doing such things?
Yeah. So... it's interesting. Like in the off season, which is about now for me, I will do weightlifting and machines at max effort. Like really my version of max perceived effort. And like, you know, high intensity training, it was created by Arthur Jones, Mike Mentzer kind of perfected it. Dorian Yates used it. These guys were bodybuilders, but the idea is you basically pick 5 to 8 movements, and I use full body splits typically, and you go all in. So like, I started out my last workout, I did deadlifts, high pulls, chest press, dumbbell lateral raises, and then bicep curls, and then weighted crunches, so 6 movements. You warm up all of them, you get to a certain weight. I got up to like, you know, with my deadlift, like a 190K, and then you just put the straps on and you just deadlift until you cannot move anymore. And then immediately you drop the straps, you get on, and then you get about 80K on the bar for high pulls, and you're ripping high pulls, as many as you can go. And you're not even counting, you're just ripping.
Oh, and then you said you only count tears and broken blood vessels.
What's that? Yeah. Yeah. That's true. It's really true.
Good measure.
Yeah. And by the end of it, like you're just drenched and dead. And then I have to watch the videos afterwards to find out how many reps I got because I can't count. It's so intense that I cannot count. Mm. And then I will not go into the gym for another 5 to 7 days. And what's happening is your body's ability to move oxygen and lactic acid and fuel in and out of the muscle bodies is a very different approach than you would through traditional body, like, you know, strength training. And that's kind of what a Hyrox is. If you think about like pushing a sled and it pumps your body with lactic acid and it's got this like very, very overwhelming amount, you need to train the muscle bodies and also the mental muscle body to be able to hold that capacity at extreme intensity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know my competitors aren't doing it and I tell them all the time, I'm like, you could do this and get better, but they won't. And most people won't want to train like this because it's insane. It is. But if you want to do insane things, you got to do it. And then also, you know, the machines, it will do the same exact thing. We're all, I usually train with guys that outweigh me by like 20 to 50 pounds because they can obviously pull way harder than I can. And we just go 20 second intervals, maximal muscle recruitment. And it's when you push your body to this level of intensity where it's actually going to make the body shift. Like you need to shock the body. Truly shocked the body to have this shift. And when I started doing stuff like that and pushing beyond what I thought was possible, I could almost watch my body transform like day to day in a way that I can't even begin to describe. It's like almost alien. And most people listening to this are probably looking and being like, that's fucking, no, that's so weird. Like, I don't want to train like this guy does. And that's okay. You don't have to. The spot's reserved for one person. That's why I win the world title.
Boom.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
But I will say, if you do want to experience something wild, you have to do something wild. Mm. And it will change you if you want it.
Mm. So nice. is that your method to training for, say, something like Hyrox? You use that particular method?
Well, it depends. So, like I told you guys earlier in the podcast with supplements, like I think it's really important to constantly test things out. Mm. A couple years ago, I lost the world title and I was so fucking pissed.
Can I imagine?
And it was my own fault. Mm. I was like, I spent the summer with my family at the beach, drinking booze, dating a girl, hanging out, having fun. And like, there's nothing wrong with those things, but there's also nothing right with those things if you're trying to be the number one world at something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the average person would do all that. You have to be the non-average person to go win. Mm-hmm. So I looked at myself and then I went and I studied all the strength training programs and I was like, okay, which one's like the most intense one to potentially break through? And I did the 20 rep back squat program, which is pretty gosh darn famous, pretty simple, you know, max effort.
Squats and milk.
Yeah, yeah. Squats and milk.
Yeah, yeah.
You get it then.
That makes you grow.
Yeah. And I watched my legs actually, like I can, when I'm flexing, I can see all the four muscle heads in my quads, like very clearly defined. I did not have that before. Mm. So I was like, okay, this is the kind of shift that I need to make. And then I just blew everybody out of the water next season. Like I fucking wrecked them. And I was like, okay. And then I had a season where I was like, I maximized that. Now I need to maximize my oxidative capabilities. So I worked really, really hard the following season on my ability to process, you know, oxygen and be able to push hard. So then I won the world title and world record again this year. And then I sat with myself for a while and I thought and I was like, where did I miss out? Because I want to set the record again next year. And I was like, okay, like this muscle body was failing me and this muscle body was failing me. And it wasn't my heart rate. If you watched me during the world championships this last season, my heart rate was fine the whole time. Like I never was out of it. It was muscle groups that were failing me. So I had to slow down, and by the time I crossed the finish line, I actually was totally fine heart rate wise, but my quads and my hip flexors were blown out. I was really stupid. I did a step climber class and a couple days earlier, which kind of overtrained some muscle groups, but that is not an excuse. But I just recognized, I was like, I need to work on those muscle groups. So then I went and studied programs, and I went back through all the studies. And I was like, this program right here of maximizing these muscle groups to the point where I blow them out every 5 to 7 days and I can prove that I'm going up in weight or I'm going up in reps will be the thing that allows me to increase my intensity next time I race. Mm. And I'm just going to get really nerdy, but High Rocks is not an endurance test. It's a wattage test. Whoever can sustain the most amount of wattage for the longest period of time. So then all of a sudden you go and study Tour de France cyclists and you find they have this magic number of 6.2 watts per kilo will win the Tour de France. So then you go look at that and you go look at your weight to the wattage output. And I was like, okay. And I start studying that. So every single season I sit with myself and I go through this stuff.
Yeah. I'm just so fucking glad that someone who looks from the outside and just thinks, oh, he's just a monster, you know, he's naturally good at this. Like hearing this, the level of detail that someone has to go into to become a world champion, it's fucking eye-opening, man. So people need to hear this.
Well, I always say it's best to play dumb until it's necessary to be smart. Mm. So I don't try to pretend to be a smart person in rooms. I just sit back and I'd be quiet and I let everybody else kind of do stuff. And I'm a loud person in general, but I'll sit back and I'll observe. But if you can just watch everything and witness it and then analyze it, like, that's how I've just gotten better every single year. Mm. And it takes removing your ego and looking at the ugliest parts of yourself often. Mm-hmm. And like, I put post-it notes on my computer and my desks and my tables all over the place so that I cannot avoid these things. Mm-hmm. And if someone beats me, I put their name on and I will leave it on my desk until I beat them again. And if something happens to me, like I will never, never avoid the ugly truth of it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I just keep on refining and getting better. And eventually, like, I want to let go of this fully because I don't think it's the life that people should be living. It's too specific. It's too intense. But for the time being, it's worthwhile because it's what I'm doing.
Mm. We're coming close to the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to say thank you so much to Pippa and Adam, who's kindly let us use
Cheers, guys.
Their 45 at Shoreditch. Really welcoming, lovely people, nice little studio as well. Where do we find you, Hunter? Tell us about your products and any way that this platform can help.
I mean, you can find, if you type in Hunter McIntyre on anything, like, you'll find me, like, it's some way, shape, or form. Like, we're always really trying to push to grow this sport and also grow the industry. So we're always, like, you know, we're basically a media company. Like, we are constantly doing stuff on YouTube, Instagram, having as much fun as possible, trying to create cool content for people. Sorry, a lot of coffee and orange juice. but we have a training company called House, Hunter's Academy of Strength. Like, I really, like, all that stuff that I've been talking about, I try to give to as many people as possible, at least educate them. That's why we call it an academy. Mm-hmm. The other aspect of our business is called Builder, and our motto is building better athletes. Like, we created a supplement company because I learned pretty quickly on that, you know, most of the supplement industry is actually designed for bodybuilders, and they have all these products that, you know, people are going out and doing a High Rocks, a half marathon, an Ironman, taking in these bodybuilding products that are totally designed for somebody going in doing like 3 to 5, 3 to 10 reps. Mm. And you can't take that kind of stuff. It will blow your heart rate out, make you feel jittery, all that kind of stuff. So we reformulated hydration, creatine, pre-workouts, everything for athletes. Like, that's what our whole idea was. It's like, I want the athletic industry to be better, so I'm going to create better products. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, I have an event company called Battle Bunker, which is like a really extreme sport that we created. My partner, Austin Alexander, he's a really badass guy. Look that up if you guys want to come compete. It's really wild. Our championships are going to happen in October, and it's going to be crazy to watch.
Let's go, Dan.
Yeah. That's held at the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, San Diego.
Nice.
So that one's really cool. Like, you get to, if you earn a spot there, you get to stay where Olympians have been training for decades. And you get to be housed there. You get, you know, free food, meals, everything. It's like a sick facility.
Yeah.
And then we put you through the craziest shit. and that's basically like it. Like, you know, you can find me in London a lot of the time. You know, I live primarily in the United States, but we're constantly traveling. So hopefully this has inspired some of these people to do a Hyrox, whatever it is, and hopefully I bump into you guys and I can show you a good time.
Absolutely, brother. I just want to say thanks for, you know, we reached out to you on Instagram, came back, and just thought, what a boy. And we're going to be sending you one of our immerse ice baths to use in your routine as well. So look forward to seeing you in that as well, brother.
Very excited. Thanks so much, guys.
Top man.
You've been listening to the Immerse podcast with Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. If you're enjoying these conversations, you can follow us on all major streaming platforms and get ready to immerse yourself into the upcoming and exciting conversations that we have in store for you. In addition to this, if you're looking to enhance your performance and overall well-being, you can follow our recovery brand at Immerse Recovery on all social media platforms. Alternatively, you can visit www.immerserecovery.co.uk.